Father, I just thank you and I praise you, and I just give you honor and glory where it's due. We thank you, Father God, that you are in this sanctuary. Your Holy Spirit's moving. Your angelic hosts are working. And all things are being completed the way you want them completed. Now, Father, I'm asking that you be with us the rest of this service, that you do your will, your way. We give you full, total, and complete rule and reign. This is your service, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to thank everybody that pitched in and helped make Alan and Donna's wedding beautiful, and the decorations and the way you helped at the reception. It was just all beautiful, and it wouldn't have went over the way it did if everybody wouldn't have pitched in and just helped. You know, you proved what a family is. You proved what a brother and sister is in the Lord. Now, we know that the battles are rough. We know that things are not going to go away, but we also know that God is in control. And you know, just like the song says, we're fighting a battle we've already won. God already knows the end of the battle is what that's saying. We have to do the in-between work, but God already knows how it's going to end up. So let's always keep that in the forefront of our minds whenever the enemy strikes. He's a loser. We seem to go into the battle thinking we're the loser. And we're not. We're the winners. Well, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. All the fathers that I might be listening. And sometimes mothers are fathers because there is no father. So happy Father's Day to you too. I say that because that's what my grandson said to me. He wished me happy Father's Day. He says, you do more for my son than I do. I said, thanks for reminding me it's Father's Day, so I wished him Father's Day back. At least he was willing to give a woman her dues, you know, and to admit that he's not always there when he should be. All right, let's go into this word, good, good Father. this is the word from the Lord. If only my people would try to understand the deepness of this dark hole trying to swallow them. Instead of trying to understand, they run to the darkness instead of the light. Let's read that again. If only my people would try to understand the deepness of this dark hole trying to swallow them. Instead of trying to understand, they run to the darkness instead of the light. And Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me which should stay in the darkness. Endurance has always been the aim of my children. You must endure the cross no matter what shape or size it comes in. In other words, our tests and our trials come in many sizes and shapes. And we have to endure these things that God allows us to go through as he builds our character and our strength and our faith. In Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of the God, you may receive what was promised. He actually tells us in his word that we have need of endurance. You know, we are living in a weak-minded society, and it seems like nobody has a mind of their own. They just follow the leader. You know, and most of the leaders are dark, you know, in the world. I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about in the world, period. And we need to be a people who have the mind of Christ and quit following what other people say and do. You know, it amazes me how people will just follow anybody and do anything. You think, you were born with a brain. What did you do with it? Right? And when you was learning how to walk, you had to learn that all by yourself, didn't you? Nobody was in front of you making your legs move. and your mind had to move to make your legs move. This society that we're living in is such a mess that we need the younger generation to step in and straighten it out, because the older folk have become so set in their ways that they aren't about to change, and somebody needs to come in and change. And this is why I know that God is bringing the younger generation in. If you're a pastor, as long as I have been, you understand that old people are hard to change. I think, my Lord, did your brain die somewhere along the way that you can't think for yourself and you can't put, you don't have room for change? But the younger kids, really, truly, they change every second. You never know which way the wind's going to blow in them. So I'm welcoming in the younger generation. I think 25 years ago, a couple was coming to church. It was here for a long time. And they said, we're leaving the church because you're moving towards a younger generation. I said, no, I'm not. But they saw something that I didn't see. And they did not want to be in a church that was going in a different direction. So are you willing to go in a different direction? Are you willing to let God use you with the youth? You know, even 30, 40-year-olds. Are you willing to say, here's some room for you to grow and to change the world? I'm sorry, but we don't know it all. And, you know, with what God is saying, this younger generation is going to come in full of pep and energy and ready to fight. And fight we must if we're going to make this journey. My word tells you that you will face many trials and tribulations. There will always be wars and rumors of wars as long as this tainted world exists. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, this heaviness that's in this church, in the atmosphere, I come against it by the blood of the Lamb. Satan, you are not invited into the Lighthouse Church, and you can exit right now. You are not going to steal what God's trying to do here this day. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you will bow your knee and you will take your demons with you. And angels of God, you are here. You escort them out now. I want the atmosphere cleared. I want all this muddiness that's in it. I want it dissolved right now. Father God, just move in a mighty way right now. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come in all your might and in your power and do what the Father's telling you to do. In Jesus' holy, mighty name, we thank you. We thank you, Father. You know, if we're going to allow the enemy to invade, we might as well just get up and go home, because we're not getting through to anybody. You know, the truth can't invade the hearts. We're never going to allow the enemy to come in and have his way in this church. My word tells you that you will face many trials and tribulations. There will always be wars and rumors of war as long as this tainted world exists. James 1:1-4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God says, why do you run and hide? The word instructs you to stand up and face the obstacles the enemy places before you. I'm going to stop there. You know, I read a prophetic word yesterday before I came to the wedding, and it said in that prophetic word that God was doing a new thing in the prophetic. As far as I'm concerned, that, you know, that we are a prophetic church, and God has spoken to me and said we are a company of prophets. And what God said in his prophetic word was, he's bringing in other prophets, you know, into the church as a whole. And he said, but the prophets that are here now, the true prophets, he's going to raise them up another level. And we're going to get, these type of prophets are going to get great revelation of what's going to happen in the world. But then he's bringing in the younger prophets too. And when he brings them in, they will be anointed to prophesy, but they will bring a different kind of message. It'll be one that the younger children can understand. But all the prophetic will run together smoothly. So I just really want you, and in that too, God said he wants, you know, God always gives me a word, you know, he gives me the word to teach. And I was thinking the other day, I thought, God, you know, I just don't know if this is really you or not. And then in this word, God said he wants prophetic word being taught. So this is what he wants, is what he's given us. So we're right on schedule with what God is doing. And I want you to understand, deep calls unto deep. And God always told me, he said, this church will walk in the deepness and in the fullness of the Godhead. So sometimes God tells us things, and even I don't understand it, you know, and he gives it to me. I don't understand it. I teach it. I still don't understand it, but he gives me understanding as the days go on. So if you hear something here and you don't understand it, just keep seeking God. He will explain it all to you. All right. Now, if you want just a mundane word, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. If you just want just a regular teaching, then this is not the church for you. This church is supposed to raise up leaders. We are supposed to bring the prophetic to the people so they can understand what's going on in their lives, and then we are supposed to bring them even stronger prophetic words of what's going to happen in the world. God gave me a word this morning about we're in a ball game, but the scripture didn't attach to, so I told him not to send it out till I go home and see why the scripture didn't get attached to it. There's so much that we don't understand right now that God's going to bring to our remembrance that it's going to blow our minds. That's what he's been telling me that for years. And he's told me this week, and get ready, because I am really getting ready to come into the churches and blow them apart. And he wants us not to be blown out of the water, though. You know, he just wants us to be so full, be ready to receive all the fullness of what he wants to give us. Are you understanding that? And God's always, from day one, he told me that he's going to use a lighthouse church to start revival in this area. And when Delaware and lower Delmarva area to Christ. And I'm still waiting for that. That's been 40 years ago. I'm still waiting for that. The first 40 years that I ministered, I was an evangelist. And now I'm still an evangelist, but God's doing deeper things. And you people that come in are supposed to be leaders, and you eventually will go out and do your whatever God's calling you to do, start churches or evangelize or whatever. And God always told me this will be a swinging door church. In other words, he'll keep moving the people, the same people. We aren't like a Baptist church where you come and you stay. It's not what it is. He brings you in. He teaches you what you need to know. Or if you're not teachable, then he sends you out to do what you're supposed to do. But in the meantime, he wants you to learn to flow in the anointing. I don't know if you're trying too hard to flow in the anointing, But I know still you're not flowing like a nice river in the anointing. You're lacking, I just hear God say you're lacking substance of some sort. And God is trying to get that substance in you so that whenever you go forth to minister, the enemy won't be able to steal whatever God's trying to do through you. All right? Somebody at the reception yesterday said, I can't believe you're still around, Pastor Barbara. I don't know where people think I'm going to go, but I'm not going anywhere. You know. So anyhow. Do you understand that? And you know, I look at you people, I know from the first day you came in, and then I know where you're at today, and there's such growth in you from young on up. It's just totally amazing. I sit at home sometimes and cry when I think about, each one of you, where you were, where you are, you know, and where God's taken you. And it's just so awesome to me to think that you're taking the word, you're grasping hold of it, and you're literally applying it to your life so that you can be a vessel of honor to use for somebody else. We were talking at the table yesterday, and here's what we want to do. We want to, whenever you was up t-shirt, you were up at the t-shirt day, you know, up at the other church, somebody told them in the tent, I feel like I'm in the company of prophets. And people were just so amazed at the word that was spoken over their life and how it changed their life. I'm telling you this. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm telling it to you. So anyhow, we were sitting at the table, and we're going to check and see if the mall will allow us to set up in the mall or maybe out in the parking lot with prophetic tents. Or, you know, in the mall, prophetic groups. And because God said we need to go out in the highways and the byways, and I just have the Holy Spirit all over me right now, but God just laid this on my heart yesterday. I feel like if we get out there and use our prophetic giftings, like Chris says, all we're doing is prophesying to one another over and over and over again, and we need to take that prophetic word to the people. You know, I don't know if you know Patricia King. She's a prophet. But that's what she did whenever she first started. Her and a friend, one of the people in the church, would go out on the streets and just say, you know, you want to hear what God has to say about your life? And they changed a lot. You know, through the prophetic word, a lot of lives were changed. And I know that you people are ready to do that. And for quite a few years when I first started, we were on the street. We were somewhere all the time, prophesying and ministering to people, and it's time we do it again. So get ready for that, because as soon as we get everything checked into and everything, this is what we're going to be doing. We're going to take the word out, the prophetic word, outside of these four walls. You guys are so full of the prophetic word, you shouldn't need another word as long as you live. Of course, things in your life change, but what God wants you to be is what you're going to be, unless you don't want to be that. All right? Let's get back to this here. And yet, well, let's just say, I'm going to say one thing. God's saying to tell you that you have to be, first of all, anointed to do that and appointed to do that. And so since God's already told me you're anointed, and then He told me to say it yesterday, so we're appointed to do that, well, then we can do that. So when you go out there, you don't go out in fear and hesitation. And I was saying yesterday, every time we ever had the March for Jesus or whatever, we always had a prophetic tent set up. But God never uses me to prophesy. He never releases me to prophesy when we go out like that, and I don't know why. But He uses all you people. And it might be because I'm the teacher, and you are the workers. And I sit there and I watch what you do and I listen to what you do and to make sure nothing is going amiss. So I don't know if God will use me or not, but He does want to use all of you. I don't need to be used. God uses me when He wants to. And I know what my calling is and I know who I am. All right. All right, God said, why do you run and hide? The world, the word instructs you to stand up and face the obstacles the enemy places before you. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Many of you, God has recently said, stand still, but you have a hard time standing still. You think you need to be doing something, and you don't. If God says stand still, then stand still. He's working some things out before he allows you to move on. And you're having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, he told us to do all that, but what has he instructed us to do in this dispensation? Go to the courtroom. See, he wasn't telling Paul to go to the courtroom. And the courtroom was, you know, really wasn't talked about then. But now he's telling us everything we do, we need to take to the courtroom. How many of you are doing that? You have to change the way you're praying. You have to do, God didn't emphasize this to me the other day. He said they will not go to the courtroom. And they have to go to the courtroom if they want their cases to be heard. So, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff out there that you need to be reading or doing something. Somebody sent me an email. I know who it is, but somebody sent me an email, and it was a really good thing about the courtroom. We have three people in this church that are supposed to be writing on the courtrooms. And I don't know, I haven't heard about any new books going out, but the books should have been out, because now is when God's talking about the courtrooms, and now is when they need to be buying those books and getting instructions on how to do that. How many of you in here has God told you to write a book? And have you written that book? Have you even started? I have 4 or 5 words in mind. Mine just is not running smoothly, so I guess it's not the time. He just said, I would write a book. But if God has called you to write a book, then he wants you to do it now. Sit down and get before him. And I'm not a writer. Well, God is. And who's writing this book? You or God. And you'd be surprised how I'll say, okay, God, what are we going to teach? You know, I have no earthly idea what he's going to say. I just sit down in front of my computer and say, I'm ready. And then he starts. You have to do that. You have to get in his presence. You have to get ready to write your book, your articles for the bulletin. You know, if they're spirit-led, you have to be sitting in the presence of God so that you get the right word. And this is another thing we don't do. We don't put God in everything. We just think, oh, I can do that. Yeah, you can, but why not put God in it? And then it's anointed to do it. All right? God said, I know it is hard at times, but my word tells you I have made a way of escape. There isn't one temptation placed before you that you can't escape. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So don't tell me that you can't escape this. The Word of God says you can. This verse reminds us that God provides a way out when we face trials or temptations. We can trust in His faithfulness and strength to help us endure. Remember, He talked about endurance. God said, the blood of my Son Jesus made that way. What kind of father would I be if I didn't provide a way out of the battle, seeing as how I allowed the battle in the first place? Job 2, 1 through 6, on another day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came. You know, this is the second time that he came before God attacking Job. And Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Now you see what kind of man Job was, all right? And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. See, there was no reason in the world where Job should have went through anything. Then Satan said, skin for skin. Satan replied, a man will give you all he has for his own life, but now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. See, he couldn't get Job any other way. Now he's going to attack his health. The Lord said to Satan, very well, then. He is in your hands, but you must spare his life. See, you can do what you want to, but don't kill him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. How many people say to you as a child of God, you must have sinned or you wouldn't be sick? This right here says that's not true, right? You know, like with Aaron, you know, Aaron got badly burned. And he said, I must have been doing something. But God had showed me right off the bat, he wasn't doing nothing wrong. Satan found an opportunity to attack him, and he did with that fire. And I talked to him again last night, and I said, please don't allow the enemy to keep telling you you were doing something wrong. You weren't. In fact, he was doing everything right. And this is what Satan does. So each one of you in here know that, just with me being sick, I have not done anything wrong. But I feel like, well, God did tell me I was going through a Job experience, so it's not what I feel. And whenever this is all through, whenever Satan has tested me and found out that I'm not going to give in, and then he'll walk away. But he can't kill me. Remember, God told me, he said he can do everything to you but kill you. So I don't care if the damn enemy tells you he can kill you or not. He can't. You have to stand on God's word. All right, run to the cross, not away from it. This is what God said. Run to the cross, not away from it. Run into the blood. It is in the blood that all things exist. The blood protects. I am a father who gathers my children into my arms. I do not cast you away. If you feel alone, you are the one who walked away. See that? You are the one walking in doubt and unbelief. Faith, children, pure, unadulterated faith is what I require of you. Then Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Some of you, we've been singing songs about getting, you know, the building up our faith, but have you really built up your faith? The harder you're attacked, the more you need to understand the enemy's after my faith. And I need to stand on faith. I don't care what things look like around about you. I need to stand on faith. And don't let the enemy steal your faith. God said, I did not leave you fatherless. As a loving father, I have forewarned you of all that is to come. I have sent you all the help you need to overcome the hurdles life throws at you. And John 14:18 said, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. Jesus gave them a promise, I will never leave you alone. So when he left us the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus said, I'm going to come back for you. So this is what we're dealing with, the second coming of Jesus right now. I want you guys to be so full of faith and trusting God and believing his word that you can go out there and with surety of heart speak to that lost and dying world. I'm just going to share, you know, something. You know, I'm trying to get a member of my household. He's backslidden. And I've been doing everything I know to do, praying and everything else. But do you know what's working? His own children. They're starting to soften his heart, and that's how he's going to be brought back. You know, it's just awesome how God works. And, you know, I thought, God, are you ever going to move? I just said it the other day, but then this happened, and I thought, wow, he works in mysterious ways. Whoever thought that would happen? So what I'm saying is don't put God in a box. Let him do what he has to do the way he has to do it, the way he's going to do it. And that you just sit back and enjoy. Just watch how things, you know, turn around and just enjoy it. Because he wants us to enjoy our life. Then God said, as a loving father, I stand before you and I encourage you this day to keep walking, leaping, and rejoicing. No matter what comes your way, the victory is already yours. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we leave Jesus out of the picture. That's why we don't have any victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing we do is in vain. Every test and trial we go through has a purpose. You know, it's touching either your life or somebody else's life. It's making you strong. It's doing something. But we don't look at it that way. We just look like, oh, poor me. Look how I'm suffering. And, you know, we go on and on and on like that. And that, let's start looking at it the biblical way. We are God's servants, right? That's what we tell him anyhow. Then he can use us any way he wants to use us. I don't know what the guy's name is there sitting in front of you, but God wants to know if you want to go deeper into him than you've ever gone before. Yeah, you. Uh-huh. He wants to know if you want to go deeper into him than you've ever gone before. Are you really ready to throw away all the junk and, you know, around about you and all the things that you've learned from others and just learn from the Holy Spirit? Brett, will you please go back there? God wants to give him a word. The reason why I do this is because my voice doesn't want to cooperate with man, so I try not to use it when I don't have to. If you really mean that, then God's going to smite you, and he's going to take you into a deep, narrow place where you won't be able to move. You'll just have to follow his leading. It'll be a path that you will not be able to take your feet off of, if you really mean that. Go ahead, Brett.
Son, I am placing your feet upon the firm foundation this day. As you have opened your heart and yielded to me, I am removing all of the fetters and chains of the past. The enemy's whispers, the echoes of lies that he has placed in your mind are dissipating and evaporating as we speak. I am speaking the fullness of my truth into your heart of hearts. And son, you will know with confidence who I am and who I have made you to be. I am connecting the dots, and I am connecting all the pieces together before you. as you trust in me and place your hand in mine, follow me by the still waters. I will open your heart further still and pour all of myself into you. You will have a deep understanding of my word, and I am placing that discernment within you. And son, there will be times, even in the short days ahead, that the urge will rise up inside of you to speak into the lives of those around about you. At those times, I will speak through you. I will give words of wisdom, words of hope, words of healing. And son, you will watch my glory fill the room as you speak what I place in your heart to say. These are only the beginnings of the things that you and I will do together. Keep your hands clasped in mine and let us go forward, for the journey is full of surprises.
Christopher.
Son, I have established a new foundation on the inside of you. You know that I have been pulling you into the deeper realms and the deeper places. You see the truth of what is going on within the world, and it has created a hunger inside of you for the deeper things. I want you to understand, son, that it has been me, my Holy Spirit, that has been pulling you. And son, as you see and have a growing hatred for all of the lies and the deception that are going on around about you, I want you to know that it is my Spirit of truth that has been wooing you and bringing you closer to me. I am going to continue to reveal myself to you in a way that will be pleasing to you, but it will also assure you that I have been with you all the days of your life. And son, I need for you to understand right now that those different places of pain that you have been through have been a part of the plan and the purpose to bring you to your knees. And son, as you have come to your knees, you are going to see me from my place in the throne room, high and lifted up. Son, there is a worship anointing that is down on the inside of you, and I want you to sing from everything on the inside of you. And as you worship me, I will give you revelation after revelation after revelation of things that are in my word. And son, you will take these things to the people, and they will listen to your voice. Many have shunned you in the past and even cast you aside and said you had no idea what you were talking about. But son, I want you to understand that this is the time and the season where your voice is going to be heard throughout this land, and it will accomplish much. And even in the days ahead, son, there will be those who will come alongside and under you, and you will instruct them, and you will cause them to be the sons that I have raised them up to be. This is a mighty task, and you must know right now that the enemy is going to fight you, even as you're sitting in your seat. But I have given you weapons, I have given you tools, and those things you will use, and you will defeat him at every turn and on every side. You have my blessing already, son. I have blessed you. I have anointed you. This is your time for coming out and coming up in me.
Elizabeth, you have a word for him? I know you do. You have something God wants to say through you to him.
As I'm sitting here, I'm seeing the Lord say, son, I want to use you in a political realm. I want to use you with the movers and shakers. Many that have a destiny in me, a calling to be used in this nation and this land, have been sideswiped and have been deceived by the enemy. They have a passion for truth and a passion for justice, but it's been perverted by the lies of the enemy. And I just hear the Lord saying, you have wisdom, you have understanding, And he's going to put you with the right people at the right time in the right places. Don't speak out of your flesh or out of your mind. Don't speak the things that make sense. I'll give you a word, here a little, there a little, just a drop in mid-sentence. And it'll be enough to get people thinking and turn their hearts toward me. I'm going to move you in a way you never thought. But you're going to be used of me in some instrumental factors pertaining to the landlines of this nation. Because the landlines have been perverted. The ancient foundations have been trampled upon. And I'm resetting things in the nations, the states, and the cities. And I have a plan for you. Do not try to figure it out. You'll get confused and the enemy will lie to you. Let me drop it into your heart. And you will know. You will know that it's me, saith the Lord.
Now, I want to make sure that you get that tape, and I want you to go home and sit down quietly and listen, because God's telling me he just called you today. This was the day he's called you. Don't ever forget this date to do a great mighty works for him. You are now his servant. Your life is changing drastically, even as you sit in that chair. God said, as a loving father, I stand before you this day declaring you are loved beyond measure. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, in the grace, unmerited favor, and blessing of our Lord actually flowed out supernaturally and beyond measure for me, accompanied by faith and love that are to be realized in Christ Jesus. That the love poured out toward him through whenever he was going through his trials and tribulations. In Ephesians 3:19, the Apostle Paul writes about the love of Christ, saying, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This verse emphasizes the incomprehensible depth of Christ's love, which goes beyond mere intellectual understanding. It invites us to experience and be filled with the richness of God's love. And I thought this was neat that God started talking about he was a loving father on Father's Day, you know, and how much he loves his men. All right, we need to draw a line between the distinction between heavenly and earthly fathers, and highlights a contrast between the divine and the human. It reminds us that our earthly experiences are limited and imperfect compared to God's infinite wisdom and love. An earthly father can't do what God can do for you. The line serves as a reminder to seek spiritual guidance from our Heavenly Father, while also appreciating the role of earthly fathers in our lives. You know, we're supposed to appreciate and respect our fathers, but they can't do what your Father in heaven can do. Remembering who God is, nature and perfection, Heavenly Father, He's our Heavenly Father. God, our Heavenly Father, is perfect, unchanging, and without flaws. You men can't fill those shoes. His love, wisdom, and guidance transcends earthly limitations. Earthly fathers. In contrast, our earthly fathers are human. They may make mistakes, be imperfect, and sometimes fail to meet our expectations. Now, I'm just dealing with a Father's Day, and Father's Day is when we did you before, all right? So don't you guys get excited here. All right, relationship and reverence. The Heavenly Father, recognizing God as our perfect Father, helps us view him with reverence and understanding. We can trust him completely because he never fails us. Earthly fathers, our human fathers, even the best ones, inevitably fall short. Their love and care are valuable, but they are not infallible. Our human fathers fall short, but God is everything a perfect father should be. He's a protector, a provider, a healer, creator, sustainer, corrector, and comforter. The biblical image of God as both king and father reflects his omniscience and care for each of his children. In summary, recognizing the distinctions helps us appreciate God's perfect love and guidance beyond the limitations of our earthly experience. Then God said, you cannot compare my love with earthly father's love. They will never be equal. If we can get our eyes off of our fathers because they didn't treat us right or for whatever reason, and put our eyes on the Heavenly Father, we will understand what a father really is, and will we rely on him to meet all of our needs instead of the father who bringing us up. Men in general in this society have fallen. God is trying to raise men up again. And I know, Merlin, he's chosen you to minister to men, to raise them up. We all know that men have become terribly perverted. They abuse their children in all kind of ways. And you know, they don't work. All kind of things are going on that you and I both know wouldn't have gone on in our age. And God is calling strong men forth, because you're going to have to be strong to get them to understand all they've been doing things wrong for quite a few years. But God is truly trying to raise up pure, holy men. And Merlin, I've watched him grow from the time he first came here till now. And the glory of God is always on his face. And I know what God tells me about him, and he's going to do a great mighty works for him. And he is going to be a leader among men. And, you know, men need to sort of gather around Merlin, because you're not gathering around Merlin, you're gathering around the Spirit of God. And that's what's drawing you. And you're like, but when I go out, people are drawn to me, and they say, my mother used to go with me. She said, why did everybody come to you? I said, it's not me. The Holy Spirit in me is drawing people. And then I'm ministering to them. And this is what we have to understand, Merlin, that as you walk with the Father the way you are, he'll draw the men to you. They'll come to you, and they'll be asking advice. And this is where God's at right now. He's raising up godly men. You women have had your say-so. Your mouth's been a-flapping and everything else. And God is still, he needs the women too. But come on, you know, some women hold men down. They hold men back. And God is saying, I'm hearing him say, they've been suffocated long enough. And now he wants to bring them to the forefront. And if you're worried, women, if you're worried about the man usurping your authority, that's not going to happen. If we walk in perfect love, we will walk side by side. We won't be considered who's ahead, who's a tail, who's the in-between. We will be walking side by side, working together. And, you know, God was saying about he's drawing, getting couples married or something like that. And he was saying he was using Alan and Donna as the first, and then he was going to start bringing couples together, and they would be walking side by side doing ministry. I don't know, Brenda, if you and Merlin have been having any feelings, but you're going to be in a building, in a house or something, and you're going to be ministering to people that other people haven't ministered to. I just can't get a quite clear picture of that. But so sort of, if he hasn't already started dealing with you about that, you know, seek his face about that, because you're going to be in a building, you know, not this building, but right, a building, you know, where people are going to come to you and you're going to minister to them. But I just don't have a clear picture of that. But let him deal with you. And each one of us need to do that. Well, each one of us needs to say, Father, give me a vision of what you are wanting me to do. I do that every day, because every day is a new day. Every day a new thing comes up. And you know, God is changing, you know, sometimes every day. Not always, but sometimes. And if you don't ask God to give you a vision of where he's taking you through that day, you could stumble and fall and miss your open door. All right? So I don't want nobody in here trying to make yourself get married. Look how happy Alan and Donna were. I mean, good. They made me a little bit sick yesterday. They really didn't, but they were so caught up with each other. I said, we're in the room. Yeah, I thought it was wonderful, though. I haven't seen a couple that happy in all my life. They look at each other. They forget everybody else exists. That's the way it should be. That's really the way it should be. So let God choose your mate, because you're going out there looking for one, and you'll get the perfect one.